everyone. Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by the insider for NBC Sports Boston.com, A. Sherrod Blakely. What's up, Sherrod?
What's going on, Kyle? Rashid Draper.
Ready for the playoffs to start. Celtics versus Bucks first round. We're going to dive into that. Don't forget, we're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee is just 99 cents. Any size, that's 99 good reasons to switch. Right, we got a lot of voices in this episode. We'll break it down. Plus, I talk with Brad Stevens. Mike and Tommy look at some key players for the Celtics. But first, Scal sat down with Danny Ainge for our playoff preview special Friday night at 8. You can watch this special all weekend long on NBC Sports Boston. So let's check in with Scal and Danny.
All right, Danny, you got the Milwaukee Bucks first round. First of all, what do you as a president of basketball operations look forward to heading into the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the playoffs are just, it's a different game. And, you know, you're playing against a team that's scouting you, making changes, attacking your weaknesses, and exposing some of those weaknesses. And so I think that I love playoff basketball. I think it's, you know, what we play all year for. And I'm looking forward to our young guys that really haven't had that much of an opportunity to play in the playoffs.
And is that because you have guys who are basically going to be out this season, right? Kyrie Irving's not going to play in the playoffs. When that happened, did your mindset change with your young guys?
I don't think so. I mean, like, those guys have been playing well all year long. And, I mean, I think that when Gordon got hurt game one, obviously that moved Jason up, and Jason's had a terrific year. But since then, I don't think anything's changed. I mean, obviously Terry now is playing a much, much bigger role without Kyrie and without Marcus. So, I mean, those things have changed a few weeks ago, and we're just, nothing will change now.
And how do you evaluate, you know, like Terry Rozier getting extended minutes versus if Kyrie was playing, he would play a lot, maybe 20 to 25. How do you evaluate Terry Rozier moving forward? Or even Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you know, last year I thought you saw something in Jaylen Brown that made you make a big-time commitment to him in the offseason, just saying, like, well, we can get rid of guys who can give you more of an opportunity. How do you evaluate with all the injuries moving forward?
Well, I think that, you know, now that Terry Rozier, as we've seen just in this last stretch, he's been more of a focal point of scouting reports, and he's faced more blitzing and people trying to get the ball out of his hands as he's had some real good success. So, yeah, there'll be more of that in the playoffs, and you have to be able to exploit weaknesses. If they take away the pass, you got to go to the run, and you have to make adjustments throughout the course of a playoff series. And if Terry has a big game, then they're going to come and do something different in game two. And so it's a learning process for all those guys and in a much bigger and greater role, whereas last year Terry played very well in the playoffs, as did Jaylen, but I don't think there was, you know, they were featured scouting reports against them. And so it'll be much different for them.
You ever had any time in your career where some of the top players got hurt and you were looking at some young guys heading into the playoffs that we were going to get a big-time opportunity?
I don't remember. I don't remember that. I mean, you know, we lost KG early in the season, the one year in 2009, but I don't really remember young guys, yeah, as young as Jason Tatum getting that opportunity.
Have you ever been a part of a team that was going to be offensively centered around such young people or young, unproven guys?
Definitely not.
Not into the playoffs. So when you were heading into these playoff runs, finals or championship runs, they were always with guys who were established. So are you a little nervous or not nervous, but anxious or excited about what they're going to be able to do?
No, I mean, I think it's a great growing opportunity. And regardless of the outcome, I mean, these guys are preparing to win, and they've been preparing, and they've been carrying big loads all year. So, but it'll be a little bit different in the playoffs. I mean, I don't think it's as dramatically different as people want to make it out to be. But like I said, the scouting report and the focus of the defensive attention is probably the greatest.
So let's get into this Bucks team. You know, obviously they have Giannis, they're centered around him. Is he something that, how do you prepare for a guy like that in the playoffs and with his ability and his athleticism?
Well, I mean, Giannis is a fantastic player, and he's one of those guys that can get a shot whenever he wants, and you just got to hope that he's not going to make a lot of shots. Maybe a little bit like a young LeBron, in that he's not as good a shooter as he probably will be in another year or 2 years down the road. But in the open court, he's spectacular. So you got to limit your turnovers first and foremost. And if we give them opportunities in transition, then you know we're in trouble.
That's actually an interesting question. When you watch and you look at this team, do you look at their best at what they're capable of doing and saying, well, this is how we have to play? Because if all these guys play well, this is what we have to do to get over the
problem. I think their core guys of Bledsoe, who we've only faced a couple times. We didn't see him early in the year, and he's been a terrific addition to them. And Brogdon just got back healthy. And Dellavedova, those guys have been injured, and they're back healthy. They've played the last couple games. And Jabari's played the last 30 games, and they didn't have him most of the year. They'd be much higher than a 7th seed, in my opinion, if those guys were all healthy. And now we're facing that healthy team. And so, yeah, I look at them as they're probably stronger than they've been all year right now.
Philadelphia, right, they've won 16 games in a row. Now the playoffs start. Is there carryover from that? Are they the hottest team, or is it everyone's 0-0 and it kind of resets?
You know, I've experienced a lot of that in my career. I think it's 0-0. I mean, listen, the momentum changes the first 4 minutes of the next game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can win 2 games in a row and have all the momentum, and the momentum swings, like, with a good first quarter of the very next game. And that's the same thing in the regular season. 16 games in a row doesn't mean anything. Other than you're playing well, and everybody always talks about, we want to go into the playoffs feeling great about ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that is more of an impact on an individual. Like, if you've just really been struggling with your shooting, you know, you want to make a few in your last couple games. But I think as a team, assuming your team is healthy, and you know that team confidence, can be gained with, you know, a great quarter, a great half, or one great win in the playoffs can change an entire regular season and how you feel about yourself.
What are your expectations going into this? Like, not how far they're going to go, or maybe, yeah, but just what does Danny Ainge expect from this Celtic team?
I just really am looking for, you know, growth, improvement, and just like guys to play hard, give everything they've got. And, you know, we'll see, and let the chips fall where they may. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how good Milwaukee's going to play. I don't know how the matchups necessarily stack up. But I think it's going to be a great series. And I'm really excited to watch our guys grow and develop. And they've surprised me all year long with the injuries we've had and the team. So I don't see why they can't continue to make me proud of them.
When you say growth, is it growth from the regular season to the playoffs, or growth from the first quarter to the fourth, game one to game two? Like, what exactly is the growth you're looking for?
Well, like I said, I think that, you know, when you're a role player, Scal, you know, like, you just play. But, you know, we have young guys that are thrust into competition where they have older guys playing against them. They're more experienced teams that will be playing in the playoffs, and their scouting reports against them, and their weaknesses are talked about and talked about and talked about throughout the whole series. And that is growth, like playing against that and seeing how teams are going to defend you, and who are they going to take away, and what are they going to take away, and how are we going to respond. All those things are, like, those are growing experiences.
When you got your chance to play, and in the playoffs, was it one thing happened and you started to roll and that carried on? Or, hey, I'm really struggling with this type of defense or this type of player, and that's going to... The difference between the playoffs and the regular season, you got 7 games or 5 games, whatever it is. If you're struggling with one thing, does that carry over? Or do you think, well, that could disappear from the first to the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I think that adjustments through the course of a game, I mean, I've been around a lot of coaches that will even admit that, some great coaches that will admit that they're great at preparing, you know, from game to game in the playoffs and preparing their team from game one to game two and so forth, but not as great, like, in-game adjustments as things are happening. And so I think that I don't really know their coaching staff. I don't know how their team works. I think Brad is really good at making adjustments in game, but he's also good at watching the film and making adjustments for game two with the whole staff. So I think it's just, I think the playoffs are just more fun because of that. You're playing seven games against a team, and there's going to be adjustments made at halftime. There's going to be adjustments made in rotations. There's going to be adjustments made in style and offensive execution and defensive game planning.
Who scares you out east?
Well, everyone scares me right now. I mean, like, we're not
if you're scared, get a dog.
That's right. I mean, hey, like, listen, Milwaukee, Miami, Washington, like, I mean, I think all the teams sort of at the bottom of the East in the regular season, I think, are very good basketball teams. And obviously the teams up high, I mean, Indiana had a fantastic year this year. But I think that, I mean, Toronto's had a really, really good year. And Cleveland, we know that LeBron has turned it on many times in the past. I mean, I've watched him turn it on many times this year.
No question.
And, like, it doesn't always lead to a win, but it, like, takes a 20-point game to a tie game, you know, with a minute to go in the game. But he's spectacular. So, I mean, obviously any team with LeBron on it probably brings the most fear.
All right, that's Scal and the president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. Now, let's get to the guys who are on the call for the game, Mike and Tommy. They discussed the most important thing for Brad Stevens to do in the playoffs and the expectations for the young players in the postseason.
All right, we're going to take a look at these playoffs strictly from a Celtics point of view. Let's start with Brad Stevens. Forget the opposition for a moment. What's the most important thing for him as a coach entering the playoffs?
Well, to keep us cool right now, because what's happening to this basketball team, because of all the injuries, they lost the chemistry that they kind of developed in the middle of the season, and they're still searching for it. So his demeanor is always terrific. But it's going to be super important that the chemistry gets to the players during the series. And it's not too compelling that they're going to have to keep thinking their way through the game. They got to just go out and play. And hopefully that'll do it.
The Celtics are obviously missing their best defensive player and their best offensive player as we start these playoffs. So let's start right at the point guard position. What are your expectations of Terry Rozier?
Well, Terry Rozier got an opportunity to really reach a higher plateau this year by starting after Kyrie Irving went down. And what he has done, as far as I'm concerned, is show he's going to be a great player. I think the playoffs, in his mind, is going to be his showcase of how good he really is. He's a very energized, aggressive player. I think you'll see that in his game.
A guy who's become a big first quarter early game scorer for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, your thoughts?
Well, Jaylen Brown has just had an immense improvement from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, where we saw him hitting astronomical numbers in a total with 30-plus point game and a 21-point quarter. So those are the type of things that will give him confidence that he can get the job done. He is still in a learning process, however, and the biggest challenge for him is going to be adjustments game by game.
You don't think of rookies usually as Iron Men, but the Iron Man of this team has been a rookie. What do you think of him?
You know, this kid is obviously going to be a terrific player. Tatum has got all the tools, size. He's got the basketball IQ. He's got an inside-outside game, strong driver to the basket. His challenge is, I'm playing potentially seven straight games. How do I do that? And when? It's really an experience for a young player, because the defenses, if he's having a good game, the next game, they're not going to see that same defense.
All right. There's a Hall of Famers look on what the Celtics have to do to succeed in the playoffs.
All right, Sherrod, before we dive into this series, we got to take a look back. I know you penned an oral history of this Celtics season, and it all really started, you know, with that Gordon Hayward injury. That really, you know, changed the complexion of this season. And I know you talked to some of the guys about that. What did they tell you?
Well, I mean, they all pointed to that as being kind of the catalyst by which really it became the mantra of this team, this next man up movement. And, you know, to me, the one thing that a couple guys mentioned, which I think is kind of ironic, that when you think about the next man up, you're thinking about a guy who doesn't necessarily play much, who gets an opportunity. And the guy that really kind of jump-started their next man up movement was Jabari freaking Bird. Dude, he's sitting at the crib in Cali watching the game, sees Gordon goes down. Shortly after that, gets a call from Danny Ainge, call from his agent saying, hey, we need you to get ready and be ready to play against Milwaukee. Doesn't get a chance to play against Milwaukee, but does play a major role in Boston's first win of the season at Philadelphia, where he was chasing J.J. Redick around. And I'm sure Jabari Bird was not on a scouting report.
Right.
So J.J.'s probably wondering, who the hell is this dude chasing me around like this all game long? Huge factor in them winning, set that 16-game winning streak in motion. But more importantly, it showed them the value of always staying ready. You can't look at Brad Stevens in the face and not be ready. If a dude whose bags are packed to go to the G League gets on a plane, gets his first opportunity to play in the NBA ever, and gets it done.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Brad. I mean, you know, you're at the end of the bench. Shane Larkin is a guy. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of some DMP CDs.
Yeah.
You know, he'll go three or four games without playing, but then first half, Brad will throw him in. You know, given all the injuries, you know, now with Kyrie and Marcus Smart, Daniel Tice, go all the way back to Gordon Hayward. This has been a truly remarkable season, I think, for the Celtics. 55 wins. I think once Gordon went down, everybody was thinking, all right, maybe 44, 45. Right. I mean, give Brad credit, but give those players credit too, man.
Absolutely. And you know, it's crazy because when people, you know, they're talking about, you know, this guy should be coach of the year and that guy should be coach of the year, I look at the fact that when you look at Gordon Hayward and what he meant to this team coming into the season, at worst, he was the second-best player. Take away Kevin Durant or Steph Curry for all but 5 minutes of the season. They won 58 games with those guys playing for a large chunk. Just imagine what they would have done if they had one of those guys absent for all but 5 minutes. You look at Houston, you take away Chris Paul. You know, you look at Toronto, take away Kyle Lowry. The fact that Brad was able to right the ship and guys made the most of their moments. You're not going to get a ton of time to be that guy when you're talking about a team with the kind of depth that the Celtics had. But guys continually made the most of their opportunity to play. And that's why this team is a 55-win team that, frankly, had no business being a damn 55-win team.
Well, Sherrod, but we said it. When Gordon Hayward went down, it would give opportunities for other guys.
Right.
Jason Tatum. Yeah. Maybe he's not who he is without that injury. He's gotten to play way more than I think a lot of people thought. Because people thought he was coming off the bench, perhaps, to start the season. Jaylen Brown, you know, and so all these young guys, more has been expected of them because of the injury to Gordon Hayward. And to their credit, they've produced.
Yes.
I mean, Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's a second-year player, but you could tell confidence-wise, he feels like he's one of the best in the league. He's not afraid of any situation, anybody on the floor.
I think the Celtics have a pair of all-stars in the making with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I think that's why when, you know, the trade deadline comes up and there's a couple names out there and Danny's reluctant to part with them, I think Danny sees the same thing most of us see. Damn, them boys can ball. They are ballers, and the crazy part is they're so daggone young.
Yeah.
And so you know because of that youth, they're only going to get better with time and experience, and they've both been in really, you know, good health, and so that's not a fact. You don't have to worry about that. So those guys have the potential to be the cornerstones of this team whenever you get to that point where Kyrie Irving is past his prime, maybe Gordon Hayward is past his prime, same thing with Al Horford. You've got two young guys who are going to be battle-tested from an early age in the NBA, so that when they are the leaders of the team, you don't have to worry about them, how they're going to handle the big moment, because they've been in the big moments from the time they got to the league.
You bring that up, and you know, the young guys, when they come of age, and you know, they won't have to rely on Kyrie as much. I want to spin ahead, because I remember a young team out in Oklahoma City who had a bunch of young guys, and eventually they had to make some decisions contract-wise, and ultimately, you know, James Harden was the guy to get dealt. Can the Celtics keep all the guys? And Al Horford has 2 years left, and so I'm not including him. I'm talking Gordon Hayward, Kyrie, and the two young guys, Jaylen and Jason. Like, will Danny have to get creative salary cap wise to be able to keep everybody?
Well, what you're talking about right now, you just laid out a scenario that will require you having a big four. There's a team that has set the blueprint for that. But the downside to that, which we're seeing now, is when you have four max, near max players, your bench is probably not all that tight.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that, to me, is what the Celtics, they're going to have to at some point decide. Are we going to try to keep those four guys together, let them grow, and give them the money that they're going to want? Or are we going to maybe at some point parcel one of those guys off and maybe get a really good young prospect on a rookie contract and maybe get a veteran or something like that, yeah, and make those kind of deals and those kind of decisions? My gut tells me that Danny is going to ride this crew out until he can't ride it out no more. And that they're, and the Celtics, let's face it, the ownership has shown they are willing to spend if it is a team that can give them a chance to win a title. And when you talk about a building a foundation of Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Yeah.
That's a good core to
you
have.
You might want a CTC. Cut that check.
Cut that check. You know, one guy that's been a product of this season is Terry Rozier. Mm-hmm. I think he's had his coming out party late January when Kyrie went down. And then, you know, he's assumed that mantle, you know, ever since Kyrie's been out here recently. And so I'm excited to see Terry Rozier in the postseason because I think he's going to be a key for the Celtics. He didn't finish the season the way he wanted to, but when this team is at its best, Terry Rozier is having an impact. And it may not be scoring 30, but, you know, he is scoring 10 to 20 and making plays and dancing around with the ball. You can see him in the flow. I think that's when they're at their best.
I think for him to really be successful, I think he has to do more playing off of Al Horford because Al Horford is a great facilitator. He's great at finding guys. And I might have Terry more off the ball than I would normally just so that he can get comfortable making shots. And those, and when he starts doing that, that's going to open up his passing game, and he's going to find people. And he's always going to find a way to get the ball because he's such a great rebounder. So I think Terry has to just really become more off the ball-ish in this series to start. And then as he gets more comfortable, Milwaukee's going to make some adjustments, which will allow him to make some adjustments. And you want to put the onus on them to try to figure out how to contain what you're doing. But you're right. I mean, Terry's going to be a big part of what the Celtics do in the playoffs.
All right, coming up in just a minute, we're going to dissect the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about the Celtics and Bucks and also some of the other series out there. But first, let's dive into this interview with the head coach, Brad Stevens. I had a chance to talk to him about the playoffs. All right, Coach, the playoffs are upon us. How much are you looking forward to things getting started this weekend?
You know, I look forward to the preparation. I look forward to the games, look forward to the, you know, the day after the games to figure out what you need to do different and everything else. You know, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty set who will be, right? I mean, you know, we have a little bit less flexibility with regard to changing lineups and moving and shifting guys around. So we got to focus on us playing great. You know, at the end of the day, it's got to be about us doing what we do best.
You've been through this a few years now, your fourth time in the playoffs. What's the biggest difference, would you say, regular season to the postseason?
You know, I just think every possession means a little bit more. And obviously, throughout the course of the year, you see teams that really value possessions and take advantage of that and have great seasons. But everybody on the court is valuing every single possession for all 48 minutes at a high, high level in the playoffs.
When you look at the last couple of weeks, are you where you want to be from a team standpoint? You know, there's a lot of talk that, you know, momentum is key going into the playoffs. Do you believe in that? And how would you like your guys going into the postseason?
Well, I think you can spin a narrative however you want to spin a narrative, right? I mean, there's probably examples of teams that have flown into the playoffs on a high and you know, lost early, and then it was, well, they weren't rested enough. And maybe there's teams that didn't play as well, and then, you know, they found lightning in a bottle and took off from there. You know, it was one of those things. We actually, when I was in college, we looked at it. There were a string of Super Bowl winners where – multiple years out of five, there were three out of four of their last regular season games they lost, and they kind of limped in. And then they won the wild card round. The wild card round got them going. The team that had the bye didn't play, and now, bang, they're rolling. So, you know, I think it can go either way. Hey, our narrative is what it is. We have had a lot of injuries. We haven't played as well in the last couple of weeks. But that doesn't matter on Saturday or Sunday. Let's just play and expect to play well.
Obviously, no Kyrie for the playoffs. One of your veteran leaders, a lot was already on the plate of a Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, maybe now even more so. How do you think these young guys will react to, you know, getting major minutes in an NBA postseason environment?
Yeah, they're going to play great. I've got no doubt. And you know what? In the moments that they don't, in the games that they don't, it'll be a wonderful opportunity to reflect, learn, grow, and get ready for the next one and play great the next one.
Exactly. And when you talk about the playoffs, seven-game series, how difficult is it, I guess, to come up with something new throughout this series or try to fool the other team or trick the other team?
You're not tricking teams for long. You may get a possession. You may get three possessions. But those other teams are really well coached. They've got good players, and they end up adjusting. And then it becomes about how you're playing. Like, are you giving up transition baskets? Are you rebounding the ball? Are you sharing the ball and making the right reads without turning it over on offense? You know, sometimes I think we make basketball out to be a little bit more complex than it needs to be. You know, I want our guys to, you know, first and foremost, when you ask about the seven-game series, it's a blast. And I want our guys to enjoy it.
It's a blast. From what respect, Coach? Because to me, it would look stressful on the bench. You know, you watch yourself in the game there, and you're on the sideline, you're dialed in. To me, it would be stressful, Coach. You live and die with every possession and everything. Why is it fun? So much fun for you?
I think if you play or coach, and you don't like this time of the year, then you're probably doing the wrong thing. You know, so that's the way I've always looked at it. When I was a college coach, I lived for March. That was what. You woke up every day when you were recruiting and when you were, you know, getting ready for practice to get ready to try to make that tournament. And here, it's the playoffs. And there's a reason why you have, you know, the depth of the meetings and the practices and the different, adjustments throughout the course of the regular season to give your chance a chance to be here. And our guys did a great job of handling the regular season. I could not be more pleased with that, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to compete with them.
All right, Coach, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Sherrod, now let's dive into some of these playoff series around the NBA, the playoffs tipping off on Saturday. But I got to start with Sunday, of course, Celtics versus Bucks. I say Celtics in seven. I think home court is going to matter, especially in that final game. I think Brad Stevens will coach his guys up. Execution, you know, we know the Celtics are one of the best executing teams. And when they execute, they are tough to beat. What say you?
Six games, buddy. It's not going to go seven. Milwaukee, I just don't think they're mentally tough enough to take the Celtics the distance. I think they've got talent, obviously, out the wazoo, but they've got some serious deficiencies at the defensive end of the floor and on the sideline. So the way I see it, it's going to be a good series, but I think ultimately the Celtics will prevail because I just think they're the better team.
So how far do the Celtics go?
Second round.
Who are they losing to? You think the Sixers got them?
I'm not sure the Sixers are going to be there, buddy.
You think Miami will beat them?
I'm just saying. I mean,
well, just tell me who. You got to lose the second round,
I honestly don't have a feeling for that because I like the fact that Philly has to me, Philly is the better team talent-wise than Miami. But Miami is the team that they make you work. They make everything harder than it should be. And I don't know if this Philly team is ready for that because they've had a great regular season, Drips. They've ran off 16 in a row. But what are you going to do when they get that head cracked that first time in the playoff series and they lose? Are they going to are they going to just shrivel up and go down the drain? Or are they going to man up?
I'm not going to argue.
Especially, and your boy Embiid is not going to be in game one. So
right, that's key.
So that's huge.
All right, so I got Houston going to the finals against Cleveland.
Houston against Cleveland.
You got OKC against who?
It's not going to be Cleveland. I don't want it to be Cleveland.
Okay. So tell me what is it. Gosh. I'm putting them on the spot. You hear this?
I thought this was a Celtics talk podcast. No, I know this was the let's talk about Cleveland and Philadelphia.
No.
Cleveland is going to be one of the last teams standing. But I think it's going to be either Toronto or your boys in Philly. I think your boys in Philly might get there. Psych.
Sherrod, you're
psych. There's no way in hell Philadelphia's going to get to no damn NBA Finals.
Okay, so it's Cleveland.
It's Cleveland. It's going to be Cleveland.
Exactly. All right, he admitted it finally. All right.
I hate that.
Let's get out of here, man. Don't forget, we got all the games on NBC Sports Boston beginning Sunday. Celtics versus the Bucks. Make sure you tune in at noon for our pregame show, special one-hour pregame show all throughout the playoffs. Let's get this thing started. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or all your favorite podcasting apps. For A'Sherrod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. See you in the postseason.
We're out!